Don't worry, we'll turn the lights off when we leave. But we're not done yet. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, back at it. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealer, Sportsdelic Mark Savard. A little bit later on Saturdays, we can't get on until there's a hourly break, Hockey Central Saturday, but enjoying the guys bringing us up to date all that's gone on. There's 10 games around the National Hockey League, but of course we focus in on the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres. A nice bounce back win in ways for the Toronto Maple Leafs after the loss on Long Island on Thursday. And of course the out-of-town games, we'll have a whole lot to talk about. Jerome Iginla, former teammate, great friend of Mark Savard here, and also about the reception for John Tavares tonight. So a lot of other things around the game that are going on. But first, we call it the walk to the subway because the game ended 20 minutes ago. Hopefully we'd be on the subway now, Savvy. I think we would. Although I walk a little slow, you'd be ahead. You'd wait for me.
I'd drag you along though,
get
buddy.
There. And talking about the game tonight, yeah, it's Buffalo. You know, they really need the points, Buffalo. They're not getting the points, Buffalo. It's Buffalo.
It's Buffalo is right, Gord. And, you know, they threw 37 shots at Freddie Anderson tonight, and I thought Freddie was good when he needed to be. But really, I think they played a decent defensive game, didn't give up a lot of prime scoring chances. And I think this is what the Leafs need to do moving forward. They got to play games like this, keep guys to the outside. Remember they were doing it earlier in the year? They were giving up a lot of shots still, but there wasn't a lot of great
scoring. Not a lot of chances.
Exactly. Yeah. And if they can get back to that, I think it's a good recipe for success moving towards the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, you know, the other part is a game like the Islander game, you really got to get back on track. Like, you know, you don't want to lose a lot of games in a row, but when you have a real stinker, kind of a pathetic game as far as it went, pathetic effort, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, good on Zach Hyman, a little bit out of character, kind of calling the whole team out and himself about it. You got to take care of the Buffalo Sabres. You know, you got to go out and dispatch of these teams like you did tonight.
Let's be honest, when they've had a hiccup this year, they've kind of bounced back, and that's a sign, you know, of a good team, a sign of a good team. We've talked about this many times where they don't let things linger on. They had a three-game losing streak this year, which was their longest in a year and a half or something. And you have to admit, when they come to play anytime that something goes awry, they seem to answer the bell, and they did again tonight.
The other thing is, well, there's a lot of different lines. First of all, let's go to the start of the game. And I kind of hadn't heard about it. And my guy, Justin, of course, because they're on social media a lot more. And I guess Jerry D, who is has a really just ended Mr. D, really good comedy show on CBC. But he's a big Leaf fan. He was one of the guys that put it out on what, Facebook? What do you call it? Facebook, Instagram, whatever?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram.
Okay. I got the Twitter thing.
Twitter.
Yeah, so on the Twitter and just in general. And also good on Mike Babcock for starting him because that provided the opportunity because they announced the starting six players. And some guys are crapping on it on social media. That pisses me off. You know, I like things that
Islanders fans probably crapping on it.
Could, well, some media guys as well, you know, I like things that are genuine from the fans. This wasn't set up by Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. You know, this wasn't whatever. It was just some fans just saying, look, the way John Tavares got treated on Thursday, it's not wow, whatever it may be. Let's just the day after or the game after, he's human. Let's just give him a little bit how much we appreciate that we're the benefactors and the decision he made. And it was really, really a nice and I think appreciated
I loved
ovation.
It. Yeah, I loved good. It. Good. Let him know and let him feel in his heart that he's home and you know what? What went on, you deserved a better applause than what you got. And obviously you got all those boos. Fans can do what they choose. They pay the money to get in those seats. And that's why they chose to cheer him tonight, because he's one of their own now, and he knows that, and everything's good moving forward.
Yeah, Arthur Staples, a guy I really respect for the Athletic on Long Island. He just said he thought it was nice. He tweeted that out as well. And I get where the Islander fans were coming and all that. Okay, you know, but it just was a weird, you know, imagine you, like here, because we're going to talk about your life with Jerome Iginla. And imagine you or Jerome Iginla or whatever going back to Calgary, and unlike what happened tonight, you know, getting what happened to John Tavares on Thursday. There's very different circumstances. I understand that in how they left and whatever. But, yeah, you know what I mean? It's just like when someone is such a big part of that, you don't like seeing it.
Yeah, and the thing that upsets me about the whole situation, Gordon, we talked about this off air, is that, you know, he was honest throughout this whole process. And it almost seems like honesty is bitten him now in the backside because – you know, he didn't just say, you know, I'm just going to leave at the end of the year. He was really thinking about staying in the island. And then they had the rink issues and the, you know, there was only so many fans at each game, and it just became a drag by the end of the year. And they don't, you know, make the playoffs again. And it's just, it was time that he wanted to move on and try and win. And he felt the best opportunity was coming home to Toronto. And I commend him for that. And maybe he could have did with Panarin's doing and Bobrovsky, and nothing would have been said. I'm leaving at the end of the year. This is my last year, blah, blah, blah. And maybe the Islanders would have traded him. But at the end of the day, he played it. I think he was true class the whole way. And unfortunately, you know, he gets treated like a piece of dirt really the other night. And like I said, fans pay the money. They're allowed to do what they do. And that's what they chose. But really nice gesture by the Leafs fans tonight. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too. I wasn't expecting. I mentioned earlier, I love the one when James Reimer came in and played goal. That nondescript game against the Florida Panthers. He took Luongo's place and the fans just gave him a standing ovation. I thought that was cool. James Reimer was an honest, upright guy in a you know, mediocre time for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I like that genuineness. And we are going to hear from Luke Fox. We're going to hear a lot more about the game tonight. But obviously, Jerome Iginla's the name tonight. What a great tweet. What a great picture. People should check it out at MSavvy91.
Yeah, at MSavvy91 on Twitter, yeah.
You, boy, oh boy. Like, you look young now.
Yeah.
But that picture, man, like, it's like... it's like Jerome Iginla was the Boy Scout leader and you were a scout that got to dress for the Calgary Flames one night or something. I don't know. Just, you know, you got connections that way. That's just a very,
well, not going to lie. I went to pick up some neutrals the other day and I got ID'd. So I'm still keeping it pretty young, bud.
Well, okay, I'm glad you have your ID with you all the time, but so you've played with a lot. Anyway, it's something to check out, and they did it right. Calgary's going to play tonight. What a great year the Calgary Flames are having. You've had a lot of special teammates, and Jerome, you always talk about a guy in high standing.
He's at the top of my list, Gord. It was a great 3.5 years of my life. I learned a lot from him, not only on the ice, because he's a great player, but off the ice. I mean, he's just a true professional, has time for everybody. And just the way he you know, just holds himself off the ice is just, his smile is amazing too. And he's just a great person. And that was an emotional, I was watching it too. And it was an emotional time even watching it, because he's just such a, everything, you know, he's saying is true. It's coming from the heart. But we had some great times together, and I remember tons of them, and he's so, he's such a battler, and he's so intense. And I can remember him on the bench some nights. I can remember, you know, and this is not to say that he's selfish, but we'd be down, you know, 5-1 in a game with like 2 minutes left, and he wouldn't have any points, no goals, no assists. And I remember him just saying, like, let's battle here. Let's try and sneak something out tonight, Savvy. You would be all over me on the bench. Just a true, true professional. And I was just telling you, I remember the one night after Berard lost his eye, and we had come back the next year and we went to training camp together, and he said, Savvy, because I'm wearing a visor this year. And I said, you know what, Jerome? I'm gonna do the same. I'm gonna wear a visor. And I didn't have the best training camp, so obviously I'm looking for excuses. So we're in Minnesota one night, and we go through the first period, and I'm like, I'm done with this thing. And I took it off in between periods. And sure enough, second period, me and Iggy get a 2-on-1 together. He's got the puck. I'm driving the back post. We get by the D, slides it through the crease, and the goalie just gets a little tip on it, comes right up, hits me in the side of the nose. And I broke my nose, Gord. Yeah, it was
the
not.
The first period without the visor.
First period, right, wow. Back without the visor. So I'm in the Minnesota room, and the guy's got those freaking things in my nose, those two metal things, and snaps it back into place. Ooh. And my eyes were swollen, and I had the bird cage on the rest of the game. Yeah, it was not fun. But anyways, what a great night for him. A true class by the Flames. I've never seen quite the celebration like that tonight in Calgary. Great job by the Flames. Great reason the Flames need to get a new rink to keep Calgary in Calgary, because it is a great place to play hockey.
Yeah, and the other part you mentioned about is, and I'll use Auston Matthews as an example. I think Auston Matthews is great. I think he had a great attitude of the whole thing, but he's serious, right? Most guys are serious. Jerome just had that natural smile. Like, he just had that natural
infectious
smile.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
it really was infectious. You're right.
Yeah, and it was. It was just natural. He did it all the time, and his laugh, when he got laughing, it just made everybody laugh. But like I said, there's so much good things to say about him. He gets everybody involved. Just he always brings everybody in. But he could chirp too. And when he put that equipment on, he was another person. Like, he was so intense. And I remember this fight against Bill Guerin, and I don't know if you've ever seen replays. I was the guy who stirred that up. Bill Guerin was on top of me, and Iggy came in and fight him, and Bill Guerin caught him with one early and cut Iggy open. And that's the best thing about the fight. He was leaking all over himself, but he kicked the crap out of Bill Guerin that night, and it was awesome. But he is the best competitor, best human being that I've met in the game of hockey and played with.
Well, you know, the other part is, so there's that great fight in 1993, Wendell Clark and Marty McSorley. And that's a great fight when Marty McSorley decked Doug Gilmore. And then it seemed like nobody fought again till Jerome. Remember that? And who did he fight from? Was it Le Cavalier?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, that was the first elite player to bring physicality back in the playoffs again, like about 10 years later. Like, it hadn't been done forever.
Yeah, and yeah, he was that type of guy. Like I said, if you got on his wrong side, he was gonna go toe-to-toe with you. And he, like you said, he's just a special human being, one of a kind, and what a great ceremony. I can't get over it. It was well done and well received, and it'll be talked about for a couple of days. And obviously his jersey's up there for the rest of his life. So, you know, congrats to him and his family.
And, you know, the other part, I'm trying to remember who the initial part was in a trade. So just as we talk about NHL trade deadline and we talk about, you know, who the Ottawa Senators got as prospects and that, Jerome McGinley was the guy they got for Joe Nieuwendyk. Joe Nieuwendyk was traded from Calgary to Dallas, and Dallas had drafted him. And that was the Calgary scouts kind of saying, you know, we want this guy, not a pick. We want this guy, and took him in the first round. And he came on and was a Calgary Flame for pretty well forever and did such a great job that way. So that was, anyway, a real nice job. Calgary just going to get underway. And I see our guy, Kelly Rudy, stayed back there so he could be a part of it. He's doing color tonight in the Flame game, because normally he's here at Hockey Night in Canada, which, by the way, a Leaf 5-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres tonight. We will hear from Mike Babcock shortly. Also, later on, we're going to have hockey headlines. Speaking of Kelly Rudy, he's not normally on it, but the second intermission panel, and we'll find out what's going on. And, geez, no trade. I guess just reflecting on trades now, no trade talk to talk anymore. It kind of takes about way half of the panel talked about.
Yeah, nothing really to talk about in the trade department. Gord, we're a week late, so enough of that.
Yeah, that's it. Busy week. You work this afternoon, trade deadline Monday. We've all been busy, all chilling, enjoying tonight. Luke Fox, busy as well. When we talked to him last week, he'd had 3 TV hits, 3 articles, 3 radio hits, you name it. His drawers are full is one way of looking at it. Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca joining Gord Stellick, Mark Savard here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. How are you, Luke?
I'm doing a lot better. The workload's a little lighter.
That's good.
You guys tonight, yeah.
Did you like the lead-in about your drawers are full? That's one way of describing it, being, you know, I don't know. Maybe Savvy's got to work on writing headlines. What do you think?
It's almost to John Tortorella levels there. with the metaphors.
Yeah, he's good with now. So we've had a funny night tonight, because it's just like Buffalo is the team you're supposed to beat. I hate to say it, but you kind of are. So we're watching the game that way. We watched the Jerome McGinley ceremony, because that was such a great moment. And also, again, the reflection on the John. First of all, what did you think about the fan-driven ovation or whatever you want to call it for John Tavares?
I thought it was nice. I thought it was cool that the other Leafs in the starting lineup kind of drifted away from the blue line they were standing on and kind of let him have a little moment in the spotlight there. And you see him salute the fans, and he also waved to the fans when the cameras went on to him after he scored the opening goal. And, you know, he's a guy who's pretty good at hiding the emotions on his face, but you could tell that he was touched. And after the game, we were just talking to him, and he said he got goosebumps. And, you know, I asked Marner about it, and he said, you know, John's a strong guy, but he's like, I don't see how a night like Thursday couldn't affect anyone. You know, he's human. So I think it was just a nice little gesture. And the fact that it was, like you said, generated by the fans and kind of fueled by the fans, the hashtag got trending and the mayor picked up on it, but it wasn't, it was in a Toronto Maple Leafs organizational thing that they were pushing, that it was the fans. And there were some really nice signs, and he said he noticed them, and it touched his heart a little bit. So very cool. And I think now maybe we can hopefully close the book on this a little bit. I'm sure when they go back there, I think it's April 1st. I'm sure there'll be some more booze, but hopefully the drama surrounding this can be put to bed. And in typical John Tavares fashion, you know, he turns in a 3-point night.
That's where I was headed. You just stole the words right out of my mouth. Now I'm lost. But anyways, no, exactly. Came as advertised again. He you know, he gets that. He gets the ovation. Then he delivers, which he's done all year. The thing I want to get into, though, is I like the Leafs game tonight. I know they had 37 shots, the Buffalo Sabres. But it seemed to be more like one of those nights earlier in the year where they kept guys to the outside, didn't give them a lot of second chances. And when they did, Freddie made the saves. I know that Skinner had a couple late there. But besides that, a lot of pucks from the outside, not a lot of stuff from in tight.
Yeah, I thought it was a decent game. And like you said off the top, it was, you know, this isn't the kind of game where we really judge the team. This is too good of a team to judge them against the Sabres, especially Buffalo. Had an emotional overtime win just, you know, less than 24 hours ago in Pittsburgh. So, you know, they were probably a little gassed, and the Leafs are obviously needed a response because of, you know, the stinker that was the second and third periods in Nassau Coliseum. But it was a good complete game. You know, I really like the Morgan Riley goal. I like the fact that Patrick Marleau, who had a little jump tonight, was right there in the crease, right in front of Allmark, you know, providing a great screen. Tavares's goal wasn't a pretty goal. It was digging a puck that was loose around the crease. Even Marner on the empty netter, you know, there was a little bit more bite, a little more battle. Kapanen drops the gloves in kind of a lightweight fight there, but just there was a little bit more emotion, and it was a good team win. And I think the next game that we'll really be able to judge, you know, where this team is amongst the contenders will be the Calgary one, I think.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, I thought tonight was, you know, the Buffalo team, they played Allmark back-to-back games because they're desperate, right? They're desperate. And, you know, one thing I thought about that, Luke, and Savvy, I know, Savvy, you followed the Leafs, but you followed a lot of teams for a few years, but obviously Luke and I have been more Leaf guys, and it reminded me, that's where the Leafs used to be. This is what we, in following the Leafs, we're doing now, hoping against hopes to get in the playoffs, but knowing you're probably too far out of it. So one, I kind of said, wow, I'm glad those days are gone. Then you see Buffalo tonight, and we saw Edmonton the other night, and you realize, you know what? It ain't that easy getting where the Leafs have got so quickly. So it was, for me, it was kind of almost a night of appreciating where we all are in 2019 if you're doing something around the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Exactly, and I think Carey Price is on pace for well over 60 starts this season, and it shows that the Canadians, you know, they're not taking anything for granted, and you know, that this is a luxury the Leafs have. They can have the odd bad game, and they don't have to really worry about their positioning. I mean, yes, in a perfect world, you want to get home ice advantage over Boston, but we have a lot of time to play with some things, and I think that's why, you know, Babcock took Tyler Ennis out of the lineup, and Ennis has actually been really good since he returned from his ankle injury. And I just asked him, and he said he's going back in next game, but they have time to give a guy like Nick Petan a look, and he, you know, gets a goal in his first game as a Leaf. And there's a little bit of room for experimentation, fine tune the deep pairs, fine tune the lineup, let guys get healthy. And that's a luxury. You know, like you said, you know, teams like Buffalo and Montreal, Carolina, they got to kind of do whatever they can to scratch and claw and make the playoffs. And so, you know, the Leafs have time on their side here, and hopefully they can use it to, you know, of course, build some team chemistry and find a perfect game, but also find the right lineup that they want to enter into the playoffs with.
Yeah, that's the big one for me moving forward, is to see, to get some stability with Matthews. It looks like they found some with Johnsson and Kapanen. I know Kadri's going to come back in. Do you think Nylander maybe pops back up in that spot? And like you said, I've loved the work that Ennis has done, and I think he's going to find himself on that fourth line for the rest of the year. I think this was just a look for Petan, and he ends up getting the game-winning goal.
Yeah, I think so. Because when I asked about Babcock about Petan, he quickly switched the topic to Ennis and was very complimentary of the guy. And, you know, it's kind of an odd situation, because usually you want to play a guy against his former team. Buffalo's traded Ennis away to Minnesota a while back. And Ennis actually, maybe it was a week ago, was saying that he gets a little more jacked up, as anyone would when they're playing against a team that decided they didn't want him anymore. So I was a little bit surprised that he was the guy that got scratched, especially since he scored Monday night in Buffalo. Ennis is going to make it hard for Petan to earn a permanent spot, but a good first look for the kid. It was interesting. He said he was yelling and yelling and yelling for that one-timer. And when they got back to the bench, Trevor Moore said, "Good yell." So that's a good message to kids out there. Don't be afraid to yell for the puck.
But again, the other question of that series is, when Kadri draws back in the lineup, do you foresee Nylander jumping back in with Matthews and trying to ride out the rest of the year to get ready for playoffs? Or do you think Nylander stays on that third line. The only reason I'm saying is I think that Kapanen, Kadri, Marleau might be a better checking line than with Nylander on it.
Yeah, I think I've always thought ultimately that Nylander is going to be back with Matthews. And we saw one shift of that tonight. Usually after they kill a penalty, Babcock puts a bit of a super line together. And that one included Matthews and Nylander tonight, I noticed. So I think ultimately that's where they want to get to. Even though, you know, Johnsson, Kapanen, and Matthews have had some good nights. But I just think when you're paying a guy that kind of money and when he has this much skill, and he was flying again tonight. He looked good. I think you want a guy like that in your top six. I think you don't want him on your third line.
You know, the other part is, and Luke Fox, we're chatting at LukeFoxSportsnet.ca, Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, a 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. So, as you mentioned, where Mike Babcock turned the conversation after talk about Nick Batan, and, you know, he was, you could tell he's sweet on Trevor Moore from before when he was up. You could just tell with Babcock. I always loved Jonas Enroth. You knew he was never his guy to be backup goaltender. So where is he with the new defenseman? Or not new, but where is he with Ozaganov versus Justin Hall versus Marinchin, do you think?
Well, he's so married to that lefty-righty thing. So we saw the switch with Hall and Ozaganov. I think that becomes maybe a little bit of a rotation as they head out at West on this three-game road trip. I think he experiments a little bit there. But it might be tough to take Marinchin out of the lineup just because he likes to have that balance. And I don't know if he wants to try, you know, Ozaganov and Hall on the same night. I would be surprised if he did that. Obviously, Hall's, you know, had a heck of a time trying to get into this lineup. He's only played three games. But I thought the first half of the game at Nassau, he was actually one of the better players. I noticed he took a hit from Matt Martin at one point, and then went all the way back down the other end and crushed Matt Martin. And it showed, you know, that this guy's not afraid. So I'd like to see him get a few games in a row instead of this kind of, you know, back and forth alternation, and give Hall a bit of a longer look to see if he has what it takes. But he's the kind of guy that, you know, they might have around next year. So why don't we find out over these next, you know, dozen games or so if he has what it takes. I'd like to see him get a little bit more of a look.
Yeah, agreed with that, and agreed. Always agreeable chatting with you, Luke. Thanks very much for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
Okay, no problem. Have a great night, guys.
Will do. Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca joining Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, a 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. We always hear from the head coach, and we were speculating or talking what the head coach had to say. Let's hear what he had to say after the game, Mike Babcock.
Mike, can you measure the significance of how the game started prior to the drop of the puck and the opportunity for the fans to show their passion for John and how the team supported him in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was great, but I also thought the people in New York showed the passion they have for John the other night, too. Like, I think sometimes we get, unless you're a great athlete, unless they love you, they don't do that. So, to me, when you get booed on the road, you must be something special. That's the way I look at that. So, then our fans obviously wanted to support him here tonight. He was an important part of our team. He made a great decision for himself and his family. To me, that's how you make decisions in your life anyway, and we're thrilled to have him. So, good for us, good for the team to get a win.
What did he and his line do well tonight?
Well, they do it right most nights. So, they played heavy. They spent time in the offensive zone. They had people at the net. They got the puck to the paint. They checked well. And in the end, they were rewarded. So when you do good things on a regular basis, when you're above the puck, when you play right, you end up scoring.
Tan scores in his debut. How difficult are the lineup decisions moving forward?
Well, I don't know. We're just going to try to have the right people rest all the time. I thought it was really good for him. Moore made a heck of a play. And, you know, when you go to a new spot, you're hoping it goes good for you right away so you can feel good about yourself. But Tyler Ennis had played real well in the last five games, and he didn't deserve to be out of the lineup tonight either. So it's just one of those decisions, and he's going back in next game, and we'll go from there.
There you go. Tyler Ennis, giving Tyler Ennis some props that way. We'll get a chance. We'll chat more. Anything jump you out at you, Savvy, about Mike Babcock?
No.
You're all good?
Really. Nah,
you're
Babs
good.
Is fine. But you know what? Tyler Ennis scored against the Buffalo Sabres last time they played, too, so a real odd decision. Is he going to sit Big Freddie? Like, it's not like Big Freddie. Like, how many hits did Fred have tonight? Let's look. Gauthier. Let's see.
Okay.
Where is he?
Number 33.
Oh, jeepers. He had three hits. I was going to say, because maybe you take Patan and put him at center, because that's what he is a natural center, because Big Freddie's not running around. But if Freddie's going to run around and get three hits a night, keep Big Fred in.
Well, there we go. So Big Freddie, Sam McKee echoing his sentiment. I think that's what he's doing back there. Don't know. We will. Let's get the goals tonight and playing. And your wife loved the empty net goal for some reason.
She said it was beautiful. Marner had a beautiful empty net goal tonight.
You guys must sit around together because you always pick out who gets the empty net. You're good at it.
Yeah,
you got a thing about that.
It's been rubbing off.
Because through osmosis. Well, she must idolize you and worship you, I would think, when it comes to hockey acumen. Yeah. But you would have been a guy that was gunning for the empty net goal, right?
I love the odd empty net. That's a nice little cookie, Gord. It's like you in the kitchen. You were always up on the counter trying to get a cookie out of the jar, weren't you?
Just that one more extra cookie. Yeah, when the cookie jar is empty, trying to get one out of there. Well, the great reception for John Tavares, and I guess it's apropos, he strikes first.
Going in there after it against McCabe. That creates a bit of a scrum as it comes around to the left wing side. Long shot deflected in on goal. That was stopped. There's a rebound. Scores! Johnny Toronto! I wonder if they can hear it on Long Island.
I love Joe. Joe Bo and Jim Ralph, the great calls. John Tavares is 37th from Marner and Marincin at the 420 mark.
So John ties a career high with that, is 37th. I believe Sam McKee, I think that's his career high. Yes, I'm getting the point. And you know what? As advertised, right? John Tavares comes to Toronto, delivers. Goes to the island, has a tough night. Who wouldn't? Gord, you're only human. Comes home, gets the fans behind him again, and delivers once more. John Tavares, 37th, 1-0 Leafs.
Well, I'll say that again.
Leafs.
Oh, 1-0 Leafs. Well, you weren't going to be able to say that for long. This is the only part got me. A little sloppiness or whatever, but all of a sudden, bang, bang for Buffalo. Here's the first bang.
Scandella will send it around the boards. Larson with it back to the point. Scandella gets it on the left wing with a shot. Down is Anderson, but they score. A very similar goal. Anderson the save, but the rebound lay in the blue paint. And Pominville is able to slide it home to tie the game at one.
There we go. Jason Pominville, his 15th from Gergensen's and Scandella. 6-minute mark, just a buck .40 after Johnny T scored.
Who's the announcer for the Buffalo Sabres? Sorry,
Rick Jeanneret.
Rick Jeanneret, the land of, well, he says Pominville Nation grows by one or something. I'm way off, made it really ugly there. But anyway, he got his 15th of the year. He continues to contribute in Buffalo, and it was a 1-1 hockey game.
1-1 hockey game, and again, not that much longer, Buffalo strikes again.
Long shot then taken by the Leafs, goes high off the glass, and it'll be played by the Sabres high and to the Leaf blue line, where it lands onto the stick of Connor Sheary and scores! Connor Sheary took that alley-oop pass, bounced it in past the defense, and Zaitsev is unable to knock it away, and Sheary gives the Sabres a 2-1 lead.
So 7:34 mark, so just 3 minutes, 14 seconds after Leafs had a 1-0 lead, now it's 2-1 Buffalo, the Sheary goal.
Sheary, he's been on a bit of fire lately, Gord. He gets his 12th of the year, like you said, and the Buffalo Sabres go up 2-1. And Sam McKee just noted to me the population of Pominville, that's what it is.
The
that's
population
what Rick Jeanneret grows by one. Yeah. And anyways, they're up 2-1. That's the bottom line. And the Leafs were in for another hockey game, Gord.
Yeah, I like the population of Pominville grows by one. Okay. And you know about this game, though? I just felt relaxed. Like, I don't know. I don't know why. No disrespect to Buffalo, but this was something the Leafs were going to get control of again. Did you feel that way?
I was very comfortable watching this game tonight. That's why I was able to flip over for a little bit and watch my buddy Jerome McGinley's jersey retirement.
Well, you don't like to give up goals in the last minute of play. You love to get them in the last minute of play, and the Leafs do it to tie it up.
Riley into the slot, now for a shot, taken there by Kapanen, and that went wide in the rebound. He was able to get, but stopped there by Ullmark. Riley gets the return pass and a wrist shot in traffic, and a scores! Ullmark thought he had it, but it trickled through him, and did Kapanen touch it just on the way to the net? But it is a tie game with 18.4 seconds left.
Well, originally they give it to Kapanen, but it's Morgan Riley, his 16th of the year from Matthews and Hainsey at the 1940 mark.
Yeah, and these goaltenders for the Buffalo Sabres, Gordon, the last month and a half, they've been fighting the biscuit big time. And it was Sam Reinhart that called him out in the Buffalo paper. He didn't really mean to, but it came out wrong. And he said, we need to start getting some saves. Yeah. And ever since then, these goaltenders have been fighting it. They don't know which one to put in net. And it's been a real struggle. And you can tell tonight that Linus Ullmark did not have it. He was fighting biscuits left and right. And that one there, he wishes he had over because it gave Morgan Riley his 16th of the year. And we got a 2-2 game.
That's where the period ends. Leafs outshoot Buffalo 16-10 in the period. Now, period number two. And it's the 15-minute mark before the new guy strikes.
Zaitsev shoots it in. Patan out there now with Gauthier and Moore. Back of the net. A centering pass. Patan scores! Nick Patan in his first Toronto game gets a centering pass and snaps that by goaltender Ullmark. Here's a kid that led the Canadian Hockey League in scoring, but had not really gotten the chance to play in Winnipeg.
He only had 5 goals in 108 career NHL games, now 6 in 109. So Nick Patan is first as the Leaf, who will end up being the game winner from Trevor Moore.
GWG, Gord.
Game-winning goal.
Nick Patan, his first from Trevor Moore. And as we heard in the post-game presser there, not the presser, Luke Fox told us that he was yelling for it, yelling loud, and Trevor Moore said after the game, great yell.
Yeah.
Mr. Patan.
That's right. Speak up.
Speak up. He got him the biscuit and it went in the basket. And there it was, his first as a Maple Leaf.
Welcome to Toronto, Nick Patan. And again, a last minute goal again for the Maple Leafs.
Hyman down into the left wing corner, works around back of the net, coming out in front. Got a shot, got another shot. That went off a leg and goes high in the air, and it is controlled by Tavares. Tavares to Marner. Marner on the right wing side for Zaitsev. His shot scores! Hyman in front of the net. And the hard pass by Zaitsev is directed into the goal, and the Leafs, with 54.7 seconds, have a 2-goal lead.
Zaitsev is third of the year at 19:05 from Marner and Tavares.
Yeah, this one had eyes, Gord. He was looking for Marner back door, and it hit a skate and went in the net, and it was his third. He seems to be getting a couple bounces. Finally, Nick Zaitsev doesn't have a lot of goals, but when he does, they count, and they come up big. And we should call my wife and let her call this last one. She really enjoyed that Marner empty netter.
Well, I think so. Well, 7-7 shots in the second period. What's your lovely wife's name again?
Valerie.
And whatever. I don't know. Just
I didn't
savvy.
Like the way you said that. You were really deep with the V. That's easy,
it.
Easy.
What do you mean? I get to
down, boy.
I get to hear her talk to you all the time at during the games and that. Not met her formally yet, but anyway. But she loves empty net goals. She's like savvy. She's out there thinking whatever, who's going to get it. And here is her favorite goal of the night.
Tavares being hooked from behind. Got it in over the line for Marner. He's got a man in front of the net and then scores. Zach Hyman was going to the front of the net, but he did not touch the puck when he realized this is going into the net. I don't need to score another empty net goal.
There we go. And one other piece of business. So I've got to pick our Direct Energy Home Services hardest working Leaf of the game in their 5-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres. That's Direct Energy Home Services. Whom do you pick tonight?
I don't know, boys. Maybe this is a group decision here.
You know, Josh and Sam have.
He likes it.
They both like it.
Oh,
yeah.
They're selling us on Nick Patan with the GWG. Okay, let's go with it. The Direct Energy, hardest working Toronto Maple Leafs. All 7 minutes and 45 of his ice time tonight. Yep. But he gets the game-winning goal. One shot on net and not another stat across the board.
That's all he needs.
That's all he needs is the GWG and Nick Patan. Is our Direct Energy hardest working
Home Services hardest working Leaf. A 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. They head out west. We'll have the game Monday for you. But right now, Leafs Nation postgame. A 5-2 win for the Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard, brought to you by your GTA Acura Services on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You think you have a lot to say about that game? You should hear these guys. This is the Leafs Nation postgame with Gord Stellick and Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Welcome back, Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stellick, Mark Savard, here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Of course, us, Sam McKee, Josh Santos at the controls here after the 5-2 win. We'll take a look a little bit at the out-of-town scoreboard, but before we do that, want to hear a little bit from your buddy?
Yeah, I'd love to. And you know what? I was just sitting here thinking, Gord, as I looked at your pretty face, and I thought, you know what? If they do build a new arena, which I think they should, I think they should do a Jerome McGinley statue. That would be an absolute tremendous touch. He means that much to the Calgary Flames organization.
Him and Lanny. Apparently they have Mike Vernon up there too. But anyway, I agree with you. And he's stuck there when, anyway, I agree with you.
Okay.
Well, let's hear from the guy. He's not a statue right now, but the guy that Savvy thinks should have a statue, Jerome McGinley being honored tonight. Here's a little bit.
Thank you guys very, very much. This is such a huge, unique honor. It's not something you prepare for. Coming out here, this is so special. I really want to thank the Flames organization, ownership. It's not lost on my family or I what it means to have my name hanging up in the rafters with you guys. That was one of the coolest videos I've seen. And thank you, Lanny, for doing that. That was truly awesome, and it means a ton. And I've always been a huge fan and have so much respect. As a rookie, one of the first things I would do entering every new building, I'd go out to the benches and I'd want to see the atmosphere and see the ice and see the seats of all the different buildings and compare it to how it looked on TV. And I'd always look up and I'd see the names and see the tradition and see if I knew them and see if I could even pronounce their names. I know you're thinking, hey, mine might be a handful for some people. But, if I didn't, I would always ask, one of our assistant coaches, the late Brad McCrimmond, Rico, Rich Preston, or the great hockey mind, Al McNeil, and they would always, they seemed to know every single player, what position, what style of player, what they ate for lunch or dinner. They had a story about everybody, and it was awesome. And I really appreciated those times, and it's really cool to think that I'm, get to be part of the Flames tradition and be up there. It's very, very special. But looking up at those jerseys, with a player's fortunate enough to be recognized, everyone knows you don't succeed alone. I was blessed to play with amazing teammates and spend time around unbelievably dedicated hockey personnel, creating friendships that forever have left their imprint on me. Thank you, guys.
There we go. He gets a little emotional with teammates, and you certainly were one of them and can understand that.
Not
going to
lie.
Bond.
Not going to lie. When I was watching, I was getting a little emotional. Thank God you guys were in another room watching the Leafs because it was I needed a couple Kleenex.
Well, that's what we're here for you. And good on Jerome again. Congratulations to him. And want to get back to some of the out-of-town scores. So we're getting some finals in now that are going on. So I'll go through the finals, and then we can talk about the games. You can pick out what you like or didn't like, Savvy. I was going to say everyone beats Detroit, Ottawa, and L.A. That's going to be actually wrong for L.A. tonight. But Detroit loses 3-1 to Arizona. So that was a big win again for the Arizona Coyotes at home. Dallas Stars, when you talk about big wins, back-to-back losses now for the red-hot St. Louis Blues. They lose 4-1 to Dallas. Edmonton shuts out Columbus 4-0 in Columbus.
I mentioned Los Angeles. They came up with a big game tonight. They won 6-3 over the Chicago Blackhawks. The Boston Bruins, they just keep winning and beating Tampa Bay the other night. A 1-0 win now over the New Jersey Devils. So they're kind of supplanting Tampa Bay as the hottest team in the East. Pittsburgh, a 5-1 win over Montreal. Tampa, a 5-1 win over Ottawa. I guess that's in Mark Crawford's coaching debut. And Carolina Hurricanes. Did you see the thing last night? Did you see Evander Holyfield come out?
Oh, yeah, knocked it.
That was good. Yeah, to go to all that trouble having him there.
They're getting better.
Yeah.
They got to get better. Now they got to have a guy now, what would you call it, someone that sets that stuff up.
Kind of a writer, choreographer.
That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But anyways, to these games, Gord, Pittsburgh with a huge win, obviously.
Sidney Crosby, 4 points.
4 points. I worked that Edmonton-Columbus game today on Sportsnet, and I watched Columbus score, and they were lifeless. A team trying to get in the playoffs with all these new additions, just going through the motions against Edmonton. We saw in here the other night. Remember, we thought, oh, my God, Edmonton's in trouble. They dominated the whole game.
And they won in Ottawa, right, after that loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But, wow, I'm stunned today.
Exactly, and me too. But the other one that sticks out to me too, you just said it. The Boston Bruins keep on winning. Listen to this stat. I don't know if you heard it.
I haven't heard
it. Brad Marchand, 666 games going into tonight. 666 penalty minutes going into tonight. Playing the New Jersey Devils. Scores the game winner 1-0. Sixes are wild. Anyway, so that's pretty much what stands out. Carolina again with another win exactly.
Sorry, that was 4-3 in overtime over Florida.
Yes, it was.
Carolina 4-3 over Florida in overtime. Yeah.
And obviously Arizona. And those are two great stories right now. Can they get enough done and catch enough teams to get into the playoffs will be interesting to see.
Yeah, I don't know why there's no real late games. The one going on now, Minnesota is a 1-0 win over Calgary. We mentioned that was all part of the whole Jerome Iginla experience and tribute. So just a quick look here. So Columbus right now is out of the playoffs. They are the team because we're saying like there's 9 teams in the hunt in the East right now. Philadelphia is trying to make a bit of a charge. They still got a ways to go, but they've certainly cut a lot of space. But wow, Columbus made all the moves, and right now they've got 75. Montreal's the first wild card at 77, and Pittsburgh's the second wild card. Pittsburgh's the first wild card at 77. Wow, to be the Columbus Blue Jackets.
What a story that would be, Gord, if they don't get in the playoffs this year. What a train wreck in Columbus it'll be in the offseason. I mean, everybody's gone. Maybe they'll get lucky and Ryan Zingle will hang around because Zingle, he's from that area, Ohio, I hear.
Yeah.
So that might be one piece that stays. But they're not going to be keeping Bobrovsky. You know Panarin's gone. Duchesne, I'm pretty positive he's gone either to Ottawa or Montreal. I mean, and who knows what McQuaid will do. You might get him around if you offer him a deal right now. But it's going to be quite the interesting story. And they got two tough teams to catch, Pittsburgh and Montreal.
And Arizona is in the playoffs right now temporarily in the West. How about that? If Minnesota wins tonight that game against Calgary, they will be in. But right now Arizona has the second wild card spot. So it has been wild around the NHL standings. And, of course, back at it, the Buffalo Sabres did not make any headway there. A long shot for the playoffs and became a longer shot tonight. A 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. After a meal like that, you deserve a little dessert. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Yes, back at it. Another win twice in, 5 days against the Buffalo series. Buffalo Sabres at Scotiabank Arena. This time it's a 5-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Buffalo Sabres as we welcome you back. Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and of course the Maple Leafs on the road next week in Western Canada. And Monday we'll have that broadcast for you as they hit the likes of Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton over the next week. Hopefully get a little bit better weather than we've had this past week. Get a little bit of break of that. But anyway, the weather was great down at Scotiabank Arena. And a couple of players to hear from especially John Tavares. And I was not aware of this, that a lot of people out there, Jerry D, for example, that show on CBC, Mr. D, funny show. He was one of the guys tweeting it. He's got a lot of Twitter followers, putting an Instagram just about showing some love for John Tavares as Leaf fans if you're down at the game tonight. And a very organic and from the heart response and ovation for John Tavares when he got introduced as part of the starting lineup. So it's nice that, I don't know if Mike Babcock read the tweet or what it was, but it's nice he was one of the starting six because it worked out great tonight. He seemed appreciative of all that was given by the Maple Leaf fans. He gave it back, his 37th goal of the season, which ties his career high, and he's got plenty of ground to better that. One goal, two assists. He was plus three. He had three shots on net, 19 minutes, 44 seconds of ice time. And here he is after the big 5-2 win, John Tavares.
Yeah, it was a pretty special moment. Certainly be recognized like that and get the support from the city and the fans. Shows you why it's special to be a Maple Leaf. And definitely got some goosebumps and nice little boost there. So just nice to do it and win and come home on a Saturday and play the way we did.
What did that mean that your teammates kind of peeled off the blue line there and give you a moment to yourself?
Yeah, I don't know who set that all up, but I think we got a special group in here, tremendous people, not just hockey players, and just the support we give one another and give me a moment like that. Certainly something I'll always remember, and I think just shows how tight we are in here, and I really appreciate it.
You grew up cheering for this hockey club. Can you just comment on the passion that is Leafs Nation?
Oh, it's phenomenal. I said it this morning. I said it all year, the support for the team. And I've gone since I've been here. I didn't really realize it to the extent until you're a part of it. And it's been phenomenal. So we just want to keep going out there playing hard and rewarding our fans and trying to get to where we want to get to. And it's a lot of fun, suiting up here in this building every night.
What did you guys do well as a team to respond to what happened Thursday tonight?
I think we knew we were a lot better than the way we played. And good day away from the rink. I think we got some energy back and, just tried to put the puck in deep and really try to wear them down and put a lot more in the offensive zone, be a little smarter with the puck through the neutral zone, especially with some of their transition game and the skill guys they got on the back end and up front. So just try to make it hard on them.
The importance of finishing off here with 2 points as you head out west?
2 points are always crucial, but it's always a good feeling when you're able to get the last one before you, head out for a bit. So it should be a lot of fun going out west. Another great opportunity for us to come together. We got some days in between games, which I think will be nice for us to kind of catch our breath a little bit. We've had a lot of hockey here, so good 2 points, and nice to do it with that type of environment we had tonight.
How about Nick Batan getting his first goal in his first game?
Yeah, it's great. I think anytime anyone comes to a new environment, you're trying to settle in and find your way, and for him, it's I think for anyone, it's always good to get rewarded and kind of get a good feeling, get some positivity. And when you get able to get a big goal like that, it goes a long way. So great to see him play the way he did and get rewarded.
Did you see some of the signs around the rink tonight and in the past couple of days just going around the city? Wouldn't give you any messages, man?
Well, certainly the signs around the rink were phenomenal. Like I said, the support we get for the team and that I got today and really I've gotten since I've come here has been phenomenal and it's been unreal to be a part of, and it's just the beginning. So really excited about what's ahead. So from that standpoint, I think for me yesterday was a good day to just kind of get away and regroup. So a lot of support from a lot of people, but for me, I'm just trying to go out there and play. I mean, obviously a lot of attention with me going back to Long Island, but for me, I'm just going out there and play, move forward, and focus on helping this team.
You talked about your teammates and whoever did that and let you stand out there, but what does it say that a lot of them felt kind of that they had let you down the other night by not contributing?
Well, I think we win and lose as a team, so I think myself, I didn't play very well, so I think as a team we just wanted to respond, and just great for the guys to give me that support. I just really appreciate it. So, we win and lose as a team. It was a good team effort on a win tonight. So, good way to bounce back.
Yeah, John Tavares, just a very, very nice. You talk about a complete 180 from the way things were going back to Long Island on Thursday. Talk about Nick Petan. That was the only deal the Maple Leafs made at the trade deadline for Par Lindholm. He comes from Winnipeg. Great score in junior hockey out in the Western Hockey League. Western Junior Hockey League hasn't had it happen yet on the National Hockey League side, but his first game as a Leaf, he gets a goal, one shot on net, 7 minutes, 45 seconds of ice time. He wished he had 15 minutes, so fourth line guy. And Savvy gave him the Direct Energy Home Services, hardest working Leaf as well, just to welcome him aboard. And let's hear from the newest Toronto Maple Leaf after the 5-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres, Nick Petan.
That score your first goal in your first game and a win on top of it.
Yeah, I felt great. There's obviously improvements to the rest of the game, but it just felt good to be out there again. And you know, the goal was cherry on top.
You've got to go down to one knee to make that happen. I mean, there's a lot of athleticism and great work by Trevor Moore as well.
Yeah, unreal pass. I just was yelling super, super loud. So when we got to the bench, he said good yell, and it was a phenomenal pass. So, I didn't really think about it too much. Just smacked it and went in.
Sorry?
What was your sense of the atmosphere in the building?
It was awesome. It was memories of World Juniors, so it was loud at times, and yeah, it was great.
You had some success in this building.
Yeah, it was a little memory lane, but like I said before, it was just one game, so got to keep going.
You joked this morning about getting a lot of shooting practice during the downtime. Was that the kind of shot you were working on?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, I just kind of smacked it, so, as soon as it left my stick and saw I hit the mesh, it felt good.
How would you describe just the feeling that you had, because you hadn't scored in a while, obviously?
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time since the game, too, so... Just happy to be back out there and got the win, so that's super important.
What do you think of Frédéric Gauthier's game and the physicality he brought here tonight?
Yeah, it looked like he had a little jump in his step tonight. I'm sure he always does, but it's always nice when he throws a body around because he's that big.
What did I say, after a long layoff, it can be tough to get the legs going. How did you feel physically, I guess, in the game?
It was tough that second shift. It was an unlucky bounce, but I think, third, fourth shifts, the legs started to get going and started to feel normal again. So just build off that.
What's been the message from management or coaching staff about sticking in this lineup, because there's a lot of forward depth here?
For sure. I haven't been around, too much to get too much feedback yet, but just do all the right things, work hard, try not to get scored on, but... work hard, make your plays, and, just be yourself.
One point you hip-checked, I think, Ristolainen in the third period. How much do you embrace kind of that side of things?
Yeah, well, I saw he was coming pretty fast, so I just thought I'd, stick my hip in there. So, I think, Bogosian got me good there after the goal. So it all happens in the game, and that's just hockey.
There he is. Welcome to Toronto, Nick Petan. Nice way getting your first goal with the Toronto Maple Leafs in your first game. 5-2, the Maple Leafs defeat the Buffalo Sabres. You're listening to Leafs Nation. Coming up, Mike Babcock, Luke Fox, much, much more. We'll play all the goal highlights. So a whole lot more still coming up. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Savard on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.